You're on the air. Hello.
I agree.
Welcome.
What the lady said is true, right?
Yeah.
But, yes, all the roads are having chances because the board have a problem with buses.
Yes.
So what it is trying its best to circulate the buses. They all have things. I agree that society ain't had a bus for a long time. But after they had the 6:30, the 7:30, the 8:30, and 9:30, and you get a bus going 10 o'clock, because that society, that 10 o'clock bus have to come back to town. But if they make it 10, go to society, go to cause that and come back to town. The bus that do 10:15, Bowman Stunt and society, that got to come back to town too. Let them make 11 o'clock back to town. But the bus, any bus that goes 10:30 to society, you know, that don't work. So the 10:30 don't work, 11 don't work, and the 12 don't work. They go to Mangrove. So that bus that do 10:15 Bowman Stunt, Seti, is a bus that going back to town. But the supervisor should have sent every hour 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, to at least 7:30. But because the board having problems with the buses and the short buses, some of them get leave out, some of them get a bus in 2 hours, some of them get a bus in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, because the buses, the board short buses.
It's all back to the shortage. Yeah.
People still don't understand that.
No, I think people understand, some people do. But that's why I was saying to you that the bigger question is the government's commitment to trying to solve the problem by bringing in new buses or additional buses.
Yes.
This is at the core, because we all recognize they have old buses and they have too few buses.
But these people talking like, oh, this is a way they don't like Marley people. This is a way they don't like society people. And in that, is that they all have schedules, right? And they destroy the bus. And that thing too, right? This is a way they send a bus to San Ross Castle. Right? Then they got no more buses coming here because the buses got back out of traffic on the road, the long lines of traffic, especially like peak hours. So by the time a bus gets in there now, they want another bus to Castle. Right? You may send one to, you know, to St. Patrick. So sometimes they end up waiting long because back out of the traffic, short the buses, then you got change shifts. Drivers, so that bus may come in, a bus may work a whole day now, and that driver will change, that bus may go out, that problem, the driver will get brakes adjust. If you don't understand.
But that's why it is important to communicate. As I said just now, you can't depend upon the Prime Minister alone to do that.
Exactly.
You know?
But when the driver come in there now, they want to pick the driver.
Somebody else wants to draw attention to the sargassum seaweed problem on the south coast. They say it's particularly bad down there by Ocean 2, I think it is. And they want to know where the soldiers, where the NCC people, it's really bad. And then somebody else says, we also need an update on what's happening with the south coast sewage project. Again, you know, prior to the elections, we were getting all this agitation and concern, but because you don't get the agitation does not necessarily mean that people don't need the updates. And I don't know to what extent the change in government might have upset the whole public relations infrastructure within the Barbados Water Authority. But it's just a reminder that because people are not complaining does not necessarily mean that they are not concerned about the progress and that you don't have to do better in terms of keeping them abreast of what is going on. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm not sure if I am. This is a different means of transportation. I don't know if I might have missed something before because I've been out to the island. But one of the things that I'm seeking clarification on I remember the Prime Minister saying that the road tax, about her proration that they were going to do, so that the persons who fell between, I think it was the 13th from the end of June, that they would not have to pay the entire amount that was due on the road tax.
Yeah.
And then she came out when she had her interview with you, and she was saying that you had to write a letter to the BRA in order to get back your refund. But I'm wondering, what about persons who might have been out of the island and went to pay their road tax, which was due on between the 13th and 14th of June? I went there, and the BRA, where you go to pay your road tax, and they're saying that they never had provision in their system to take prorated charges, because they heard the minister talking about that, but that a provision was never made in their system, so they cannot accept a prorated charge. So then I would have to pay the entire road tax
and get a refund and apply for
a refund.
Yeah.
But I mean, isn't that a waste? If you're talking about that, you don't have a lot of money, that's resources that you have to use. So if I put a dollar figure to it, that's resources. That's paper that you have to issue a check to send it back out, which is also a bottom line cost. So why would you have to do that if, say, for instance, I'm paying my road tax now and it was due on the 14th, why can't I pay the 25% or whatever into BRA so that they don't have to issue me back a check? I don't know if I might have missed something, but I'm seeking clarification, and I don't understand.
Well, I'm not the person that can clarify it for you. You need to call the BRA to get that clarification.
Well, I've called.
And what happened?
And they're telling me that they keep saying that they don't have provision to take part payment.
Right.
But if the minister, what information then is being fed back to the minister, if the minister is of the belief that you can take part payments, and that's a provision that was made by BRA? I don't understand I'm seeing a disconnect. That means that information is not getting back to the minister, and I'm hoping that she's getting the right information in order that she would be as successful as I think that she can be. But if she's getting bad information, you know, if you put in and what comes out is distorted, then I don't understand the disconnect.
Are you aware that there's an application form online?
No, I'm not aware of that.
All right. So I'm told that BRA has an application form online that must be filled out in order to get this refund on road tax. So perhaps what you can do is go online and see what they have there. And there, I'm told also that you're supposed to write the Ministry of Finance, not the BRA. Okay?
But this seems to be
a little bit, from what we're getting here, is a bit of confusion. First of all, go to the BRA site. If the refund is to come from the Ministry of Finance, or you're supposed to write the Ministry of Finance, I would expect that would be indicated on the BRA site, because they would naturally be the ones that would be getting a lot of those queries.
But I'm not questioning the refund, you know.
You're questioning the fact that you have to pay up front and then get a refund.
I mean, this is a suggestion then. I've written it on that site that they said, but this is a suggestion. Why do double work? And I think that's why, I mean, we don't like to touch this, but I think that's why we have to keep our public service so large. Because when I look from a private sector thing, some things that six people do, one person would do in the private sector, I'm saying, why are you going to make somebody paying then for you to give back when that is going to be cost to you and you're talking about you don't have any money? That makes no sense to me. And we need to move away from, well, this is what he said, and need to question. We have to keep our leaders, you know, accountable for the decisions that they make. And Bajans need to stop sitting and saying, well, the clock put up upside down, so every morning and come in and look at the clock upside down. That's stupid. And I feel really strong. I mean, I paid it, but I feel really strongly about it, because that makes no sense in 2018, right, where I could sit in Barbados and do business in Japan, and I don't even know the people, and you are telling me that I have to pay in for you to give back, and then you have to use paper to do a check, to use resources, to run the program or whatever. That makes no sense. And I'm just wondering if the minister knows that when you go to BRA, they say that you can't make a part payment.
Okay. Thank you for drawing it to our attention. Makes sense. Hello. Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air?
Yes, Mr.
It's now 12:20, yes.
Good morning. Good day, sorry.
Good afternoon, yes.
Yeah, I just call in to make a response pertaining to some comments I heard this morning from your first two callers saying that Barbados is two Barbadoses.
Yeah.
I think that them comments was attributed to the problems there with Charles Serbert and whatever with these drugs and whatever. I know sometimes it really worries me how people is just see things and just don't understand them.
And distort them.
Call the programs. I mean, I was normally thinking that these two people got some level of understandable procedures. Now, the third person who was charged, who was supposed to be the sailor, his term as a sailor, he was granted bail. All three persons were granted bail. The other two had sureties, and he did not. That is why he is in prison. It has nothing to do with two Barbadoses. If his wife could have found the shorties, he would be out just like them. So I don't understand how these
But they're also looking at the whole question of the use of handcuffs. What happens is that the use of handcuffs, when they all three went into court, neither one of them was handcuffed. He was handcuffed after because he could not get bail because of the absence of the surety, and therefore he was now going to be remanded. And it is because he's remanded, in those circumstances, once you're being remanded, you are likely to have handcuffs.
That is a fact.
All right?
And these people got to stop this type of stupidness unless they understand.
No, but that was all part of the fanning of the flame of the two Barbadoses and the white and black construct and that sort of thing. And you got to be very careful, especially when you're dealing with mass media, right? You have to be very, very careful that you do not allow people to fan a flame on the basis of a misrepresentation, because it can really get out of hand sometimes and create problems for society.
You know, Ms. Ellis, let me tell you something. I have nothing to do with nobody, white or black. If you're guilty of doing something, you face the consequences. Every day we get murders in Barbados, and they are what we call the poor black man killing the poor black man. You understand my point?
Black on black.
So I does not understand why these people are still going down the road. We have passed 50 years of independence. They got black people today in Barbados that are millionaires, a lot of them. And, you know, I don't understand why we're bringing this type of divide within what is going on in our country. A man is innocent. And what surprised me, what I am surprised about, and I feel very strongly about it, Mr. Herbert, and they hide away and shy away from the cameras. They face the cameras. And this is something that strikes me as I can't prejudge what happened or was he planning doing it. But I believe that they are innocent until they're proven guilty. And we got to wait on
that's our
on
system.
The law to its course and stop with the stupidness. Thanks very much, Mr. Ellis.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks.
Down Brass Tacks.
You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Ellis. I just want to give a little clarification on a matter that was just raised by a lady. The private sector approach will not easily work in the public sector.
Why is that?
Because simply every time a tax is imposed, it's a law and it passes through Parliament. A refund is at the discretion of the minister. Therefore, the tax has to be paid according to the law, and then the discretion that comes from the Ministry of Finance, the refund will be at the discretion of the minister.
You are suggesting to me that for all these individuals who may be, who are expected to pay this tax, that ultimately the minister is going to decide? Would that all make sense, Nida? That's nonsense. If everything has to go for the every one of these applications, if they had to go for the discretion of the minister, you know how much red tape, how much time would be wasted?
Yep, yeah, but they still have to apply for it because the law, if they just say, well,
You know the minister has the authority, even though in law it will say the minister also has the discretion to delegate that to somebody else rather than to waste time sitting down trying to determine whether each individual is going to get it or not.
I don't think it passes.
Her point is deeper than that. It is, look, in an era such as this, you have to look at refining the system. This does not make sense. And it, therefore, she says perhaps the minister is unaware that the BRA is saying we can't take part payment. So if the minister is unaware, then let's adjust the system in such a way that BRA can be delegated to do just that. That's what she's saying. Doesn't that make sense?
It does. But currently, I believe the law is specific. And except you change the law, then you can't just treat public.
No, but you say the law is specific. The law is specific in saying that the minister has discretion. But the minister also has discretion to delegate. You make it seem as though the law is structured in such a way that the only person who can exercise that judgment call is the minister. It is dependent upon whether the minister wants to hold on to the authority or not. Isn't that correct?
I'm looking at the process that has to be followed.
No, but you're saying the process says that if the process says that ultimately the minister must make this decision, that the minister has absolutely no discretion in saying, look, while I have this, there are certain aspects of this problem that should come to me, but there are others that I don't need to waste my time with that. I delegate to this person or this department the responsibility for dealing with these minor matters. Rather than saying that just because the minister's got the ultimate authority, everything must come and stack up on the desk and have a minister absorbed in that sort of thing, that's nonsense. That's wasting time. And if any minister in Barbados wants to operate like that, well, then that person in the wrong job. They have a misunderstanding of what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to look at policy implementation. That's an administrative matter. So don't get caught up in that. I don't see it that way. Anyhow, we're going to the news.
Okay.
And we can come back. Thanks. Down to brass tacks. We're really very thankful to those of you who take the time out to call us and share your concerns or raise your questions. And we are equally thankful to those who take the time to respond to some of what you hear. Here's one such response, and this is in relation to the lady who spoke about the absence of part payment or the BRA taking part payment in relation to this whole question of the road tax. The person says, good afternoon. I would like to know that people who are in management make decisions that affect the country. This is another one. It says, we need to be careful not to make a mountain out of a molehill. Though it might be worthwhile in a general sense to allow part payment on debt owed to the government, the current situation with the road tax is different, says the writer. I know that there are people who didn't actually pay their road tax, but the articulated refund policy was proposed after the taxes were to be paid. It was introduced to give relief to the people who paid close to the date from which the tax is no longer payable. Based on the date of the decision, all of those people should have already paid, so a provision was made to refund them. It will follow logically that there was no necessity to prorate payment, as the payment should have long been made. Only a few people still owe. So it is not reasonable to change the system for the delinquent few. Her point would have been entirely valid if the policy was introduced before the payments were due. So there you get a response to that. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Right. I was speaking about delayed buses and so, but this system is not just yesterday. Years ago, I was in the bus terminal from about 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. The gentleman coming with the bus and the supervisor turned and tell him to go to this the place where I live. And he said, I'm going up there and I'm going back to Caleb. So I mean to say, if some person, they come and explain to me, well, listen, this thing and so forth and that, I will have no problem. But we out here need an explanation, because another day I was waiting for a Martin's Bay bus. When the gentleman come, he said he ain't going this particular place, he going back to Martin's Bay. It need explanation to let us know why the driver should tell that guy so. You know, so if we are out here, you know, we will run off and say anything. So I just wanted to let that be known to. Okay, so I thank you for listening, and you try to have a pleasant day. Okay?
Thank you very much for calling. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, and you?
Hello.
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, I'm pretty okay. I just want to make a few points. A couple of weeks ago, the Prime Minister was opening a bank, or she was at a bank function, and she addressed the situation where Barbadian banks are no longer owned by the parent bank overseas, and she thought that that was a very bad thing. The reason why I wanted to compliment the Prime Minister on addressing that matter is that Barbados's way out of this financial problem is not going to be through the traditional means. It is going to be through instruments like trading instruments and so on. And I'm not necessarily talking about stock exchange and that type of trading, because that is lower level banking. But unless the central bank and the government can lock hands together and get some of these programs in place where they can get funding in a short term, on a short term basis, funding that they don't have to repay, I think we're going to struggle to get out of this mess. It is a recommendation that I made to the previous government. It is a recommendation I also made to the central bank governors some time ago. I've made this recommendation to so many different people, but nobody takes it very seriously. Yet there are people overseas who have made the recommendation to me to pass on to the government. That's the first point I want to make.
Before you go on that, though, you need to expand on it a bit. You said we need short-term funding that we don't have to repay. And where is that funding going to come from?
There's nothing. I don't think the average person will understand it, because it is what is known as higher level banking. And when I discuss it with a lot of bankers or so on around here, they're not aware.
Yeah, but no matter how high level it is, it can be explained. So explain it.
Yeah, it is the purchase of instruments that you can, like if you buy a newspaper for 10 cents and sell it for 20 cents. But you're buying a million newspapers and you're selling it to make a profit of 10 cents in one day, then you turn around and you sell it again the next day and the next day and the next day. So it compounds. The amount of profit you make can compound. But it is something that...
It's something like what you call hedging?
I don't want to use that word, not really.
Because you know of all the ramifications of using the word.
And that is the reason why.
But you also consider it's highly risky, don't you?
No. This one is not risky, but because it is used by a number of the international agencies.
That makes it less than risky?
It is not risky. There's no risk involved whatsoever.
Well, who else is doing it as a country? Who else is doing it?
Other countries are doing it. And
example?
Countries like institutions like the United Nations, even the same IMF, they do it.
But you're giving me multilateral agencies as the example. I've asked you for countries that are doing it.
Ellis, I wanted to throw it on the table, but it is nothing that you can really explain.
Explain something for me. How different is this from what insurance companies and finance houses did that caused the housing bubble?
The housing bubble would have come through risky transactions. But this has nothing to
This has no risk.
No, whatsoever. None whatsoever. This is something that is done.
So if I buy something at one price and sell it at a higher price.
Really, it is for governments, really. It's not for the
But I'm saying if a government buys at one price and sells at another price, that assumes that both markets remain stable.
It is a market which is very, it is a market which is used only by the top level people in the world, but it is also used to help third world countries. And
is used by multilateral agencies, that's what you said.
But it is something that you have to get to know the right people.
All right.
Because you just can't walk into it and say, well, I come to do X, Y, and Z. But it is a means out for Barbados.
All right. This is how you can help me and the average person out there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us where we can go to read up more on this.
I just mentioned that. I wanted to mention that in passing, but it is nothing I can go into in public. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention
I am asking you to go into it in any further detail. I'm just asking.
I just wanted to mention it as a means that if the Barbados governments were really serious, we would not be in this position that we are in today. My other point that I want to raise is, and this is a bit of a concern to me, when the Prime Minister, and this is my interpretation of it, when the Prime Minister had a meeting with the Central Bank, on the Saturday. On the Sunday, I saw a report of what transpired at the meeting in the front page of the Nation newspaper. My question was, if she's the Prime Minister, shouldn't she have given that information to all the media houses? Why was Sanka Price from the Nation selected to give that information to the Nation? Why not the Advocate? And why not the other media houses? That was a concern of mine.
No, you have concluded that he was selected. You haven't looked at it from the other angle, that he might have had an idea of what was taking place and pursued it. And if he pursued it, why should he not be rewarded with the information? That's the other side of it, unless you know something that the rest of us don't, that he was selected.
Mr. Ellis, you're a brilliant man, but you can't push that one for me. Let me go on.
There's
a point now.
No. I ain't pushing it on you. I ask you I put a reasonable alternative position to you. But you have been dismissive of it in this way because you don't want to answer the question.
But why should I answer it?
Because you are dismissing it as a possibility.
Just a minute. How can I answer it, right?
Yes.
I started out by praising the Prime Minister for dealing and all that, right? I want to be balanced in what I'm saying, okay?
No, but you have assumed a position.
Ellis, for the last 6 months, Mr. Ellis, you had a newspaper that was, for the last 6 years, you had a newspaper that was spouting a lot of anti-government things, you know? So what other conclusion can I come to?
Well, I don't think that anybody listening to you cannot agree with you on that premise and that premise alone. You cannot come and tell me that because in your judgment the newspaper had an anti-government, anti-DLP bias, that it stands to reason that the Prime Minister chose somebody in particular because of that. You can't say that and just expect it to stand up to scrutiny.
But when the DLP was in power,
You have something else going on. You know that you have something else going on in your head.
Hold a minute. When the BLP was in power, the nation had an anti-government stance too, which is the normal.
You know, the truth of the matter is that when you look at the structure of the media and its responses and the personalities and stuff, you are going to find from time to time that there will be a perception one day that you are one way, and with the passage of time, you're going to get a perception that you've altered your position as well. I mean, the sections of the media that you are singling out as being highly critical of the Democratic Labour Party in the last 10 or 8 years. Truth of the matter, you got to ask, the question you have to ask is how out of step were those sections of the media with the national mood?
Well, you got to ask one of the editors from the Nation that resigned and the reason why he resigned. But let me go on to the other point.
Well, I don't know where you're going with that there, because
you had an interview also with the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Were you the only one conducting that interview with the Prime Minister?
But you watched it, so you could determine whether they had gremlins there as well.
I'm saying, why were these individuals just selected? I mean, why, if you're going to give the nation information and you want to be transparent, why don't you open yourself then to everybody to ask a question?
I can't answer that. Because clearly that wasn't my decision. It's somebody else's. But you see, you're moving from one thing to the next, and ultimately your beef here is with what you see as the relationship between sections of the media and the current administration. As we sit and we look at the situation right now, it is unfolding as well that there are perceptions as to how other sections of the media are behaving too. So all of this is under scrutiny. The critical thing for us, though, is that in the pursuit of what we do, as much as possible, we must appear to be fair and reasonable, okay? And above board. That's what is required of us. All right. Anyhow, thank you very much. Thanks, Dennis Johnson, for being with us today as technical operator and producer. And a special thanks to the people who participated in the program as callers and as listeners. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.